What I want us to do this morning is I just want to say a couple of things more about spending time alone with God. Really a couple of motivational things that I think are very significant, especially in terms of trying to explain to kids. Now, you know, why do you need to have a time alone with God? I mean, that's a perfectly legitimate question. You know, a lot of times we'll preach to kids or we'll talk to kids and we'll say, hey, you need to have a time alone with God and let me show you how. But they've never really seen why. And I don't know how you are, but I like to know why I'm doing something. And I think most kids are that way. They want to know, now, why am I doing this? And there are a couple of reasons why a person needs to have a time alone with God that I think are really, really significant and almost mind-boggling when you begin to think about it. Let's just look at the first one. The first one is why in answer to why I spend time alone with God. Because God desires my fellowship. Now you just think about that for just a minute. That is absolutely amazing, that God desires my fellowship. John 4:23, you can write that down or look it up, whichever, and it says this, but the hour is coming and now is, when those who worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship Him. God is really seeking after us, kind of the picture of the hound. Francis Thompson's The Hound of Heaven. God pursuing us and really desiring to be with us. Luke, the 19th chapter, the 10th verse. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. God has come seeking us. He really desires our fellowship. He wants to know us. And I think as we look at the incarnation and look at what Jesus did when He came and as Colossians 1:15 says, that Jesus became the visible expression of the invisible God. I think as we look at the incarnation and see Jesus' identification with us, we begin to see that principle in vivid reality, that God is seeking after us because He really desires to get to know us. And, you know, that only makes sense. He's our Father. We're His children. I've got a couple of kids. I've got a boy named Scott. He's 4. I've got a little gal named Katie, and she's 18 months. And, you know, my son enjoys doing what I do. You know, when I go out and mow the yard, he'll come out with his little $1.98 plastic mower and come whipping along in the yard right behind me. And when I get ready to go run in the afternoons, a lot of times he'll come out with his new sneakers and look just like his dad's sneakers, you know, his running shoes, he calls them, and gets on his running clothes, and he wants to run right along behind me, and he wants me to run with him in the yard, and we'll say, on your mark, get set, go, and we'll run up and down the yard several times, and he does that because he knows I like to go out and run, and he likes to come outside and run with me. You know, I really enjoy being with him. It's very interesting. I've taken up Tinker Toys again, and given those up for a long time. They're real interesting. If you hadn't played Tinker Toys in a while, it depends on who you're playing them with. But, you know, because I'm able to play them with Scott, that really makes it really a meaningful experience for me. You know, and we reading a lot of, my intellectual level is picking up greatly. We're reading a lot of super books, Pinocchio, The Cat in the Hat, and, you know, Cinderella and a few things like that that I hadn't read in a long, long time. And the reason I'm enjoying reading those books is because Scott and I lay in there on the bed at night, and we talk, and he tells me what he's been doing during the day, and I tell him a little bit about what I've been doing, and we tickle each other and jump up and down on the bed. Just broke it last week, by the way. Mom's mad about that. But we just get in there and have a good time together, just enjoying each other. I mean, it's really, really a lot of fun. One of the neat things we do is we enjoy taking a shower together. We just jump in there, and we have 8 or 10 wash rags hanging around in there. And, you know, and he'll just grab one of those things, start swatting me around the legs with those things. And we'll scrub on each other, and I'll turn the cold water on him, and he'll try to spit water on me, and I'll try to spit water on him. You know, I mean, we just have a great time in there. Now, why? All that's really absurd. You know, some of you got kids, you know, you do some things like that, and probably some dumber, even dumber things than that. But why? Because, boy, I just really desire to be with Him. I can't think right now on Thursday, I can't think of anything more exciting than getting home on Sunday afternoon and being able to spend some time out in the front yard throwing a Nerf football with my son. Because I desire his fellowship. I can't wait to get home and have that little gal waddle up in her with her big fat legs and just waddle up to me and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," you know, and just want to put her arms around me and kiss me. Boy, that is really neat. You know why? Because I really desire fellowship with my kids. Well, you know, it's exactly the same principle applied to our relationship to God. God's our Father. We're His children, according to John 1:12. Now, why in the world wouldn't God really want our fellowship? And when we begin to try to explain that to kids, and when I try to explain that to myself, I mean, that is really astounding that God desires, the God of the universe who made all the creation that we're seeing around us, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, can still be the all-loving God who really wants to know me and really get to fellowship with me. Boy, that's exciting. God really wants to enjoy me. That'll pick up your self-worth a little bit, won't it? So God desires my fellowship. And then another reason why I think it's important for us to see why we need to spend time alone with God is because if Jesus needed to do that, surely I need to do that. You look over in Mark 1:35, it says, "And Jesus rose up a great while before day, and he went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed." And we find Jesus at crisis points in his life and at daily points in his life, moving off to be with the Father so that he can have times of fellowship with the Father. And if Jesus needed that in order to maintain that obedient, loving, deep relationship as a father with a son, surely, as one who's been redeemed and reclaimed as a son of God, I need to spend that time alone with him so that I can develop that relationship with him. So if Jesus needed that, then I need it. Well, let's just move on into, maybe that'll help you a little bit in trying to communicate this to your kids when you get back home, because a lot of times they'll want to know, now, why in the world do I need to do this? I mean, what's the motivation behind it? And I think those are a couple of really, really positive motivational factors. In addition to that, you may want to add in there that it really helps kids to grow. I mean, if you're going to be a vital, consistent Christian, then you need to have time alone with God. So there's several reasons, but I think those two in particular are very significant. Now, let's just pick up where we left off yesterday in terms of talking about prayer. Yesterday we talked about praise and about confession. Had a wonderful experience of praising God together in real celebration yesterday morning, and I just want us to pick up from that and talk about three other aspects of prayer this morning. I want us to talk about thanksgiving and petition and intercession, and just look at what those are and how we can put those into practice in our lives if that's not taking place already, and how we can begin to implement that into lives of kids in a very, very simple type of way. Let's look at thanksgiving first. Now, thanksgiving, what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is my response to the goodness of God. Turn over to Psalm 136:1. Just look at that with me for just a minute. Psalm 136:1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And really, that's a command for us to give thanks to God because of His goodness. It's our response to God's goodness. And thanksgiving is also thanking God for what He has done. Thanking God for what He has done and expressing gratitude for His actions. Thanking God for what He has done and expressing gratitude for His actions. Now, yesterday we talked about praise. There is a difference between thanksgiving and praise. Praise is adoring God for who He is. Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude to God for what He's done in His actions. And there's a tremendous amount of difference in praising God for His personality and thanking God for His personal action in our lives. So that's what thanksgiving is. And Thanksgiving, as we look at it, you know, and probably all of us have heard this from time to time, Thanksgiving is giving thanks in all things. Now, this is very hard for me to grasp. You know, it's my initial reaction to a bad situation is to say, oh, crud, or to really get angry, or to, want to throw something or strangle somebody or do something like that. And when in reality, God's response to that situation is for me to say, thank you. Thank you. See, it says give thanks in all things. That means give thanks not so much for the situation and the circumstance itself, but giving thanks in that circumstance, God can bring a positive, good, growing experience for me. Because I'm responding the way God wants me to respond in that situation. I've had some pretty hairy circumstances around me the last few weeks, and without going into a lot of detail about what those are, it's been very difficult for me to say thank you to the Lord. But you know, I've really discovered over the last several weeks that when I would come to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, now I've thrown my tantrum and I've gotten angry and done all the nasty things. Now I'm just coming and say, you know, that was the wrong response. I just want to thank you. Thank you for this circumstance. Thank you for the fact that you're going to take it and use it and help me to grow and be more the kind of person that you really want me to be. You know, I found a tremendous release in that. Realizing that instead of being in my hands, that was really in God's hands and that He could take care of it and make me grow out of some negative circumstances, He could help me to grow in a positive way. So that's what Thanksgiving is. Now, how do we... by the way, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, most of you know that, is an excellent verse at that point. How then do we give thanks to God? Well, if you've got your green manual there, you can just turn over to the section under Time Alone with God. And there are a whole series of things that we've written out that just can kind of spark a time of thanksgiving with the Lord as you pray daily. And it may be that you want to take one of these a day or a couple of these a day, or you may just maybe just one line that gets you started in spontaneous thanksgiving for all of God's actions around you. For instance, thank you for your amazing love, for letting me be in your family, for you being my father. Thank you for the body of Christ, for letting me be a functioning part of that body, for my church, which shows that body to me, for my home, for my husband or future husband, for my wife or future wife, for my children, for my body, for my health, for my strength, for my mind, for happy times, for sad times, for indifferent times, for adults who have helped me, for teachers who have taught me, for Christians who have shared with me, for food, for clothes, for free country, for opportunities to work, for opportunities to play and study, and so on and so forth. Thank you for saving me from selfishness and pride and separation from you, and so on and so forth. And just as you begin to pray and thank God for those various areas and aspects of your own life, then the thing that I find happens with me is that there comes a spontaneous attitude in which I'm grateful for the things that God is doing around me. And it's really amazing how when you begin to thank God like that, you can hardly stop thanking Him, because you begin to realize all the tremendous blessings that He's poured out upon us. And so I think that's a real positive way that you can help your kids. And it's in that notebook. You can share that with them and help them to see how they can give thanks to God. And you know, it's really amazing. I find, I guess, among high school students today, one of the biggest problems that they face is an ungrateful attitude. They've been given everything, and so as a result of that, I think one of the reasons why kids are so apathetic is because they have such an ungrateful attitude. And if we can teach them to pray, giving thanks to God and becoming grateful with a grateful attitude for what God has done, it can make a tremendous difference and their whole attitude toward life. So teaching them how to give thanks and us setting the example in knowing how to give thanks is extremely important. All right, now let's look at petition. Another aspect of prayer. Petition is my response to the wisdom and power of God. My response to the wisdom and power of God. It's acting on God's promise to answer me as I pray. And as you look through John 14 through 16, there are prayer promises galore in those three chapters, saying over and over again, if you ask me, I'll answer you. If you ask according to my will, I will answer. If you ask in my name, I will answer. Over and over again, those phrases occur. And it's very simply God's promise to us. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything that you will, and it shall be done for you. So petition is very simply acting on God's promise to answer me as I pray. Now, how in the world do you do this? How do you petition God? Well, I found some things in my life that may just be some helpful clues to you, some things I've picked up from some other people, some scriptures that I claim. One of the scriptures that I try to claim for myself is Galatians 2:20. Try to claim that every day, that I've been crucified with Christ, and yet it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And try to claim that verse every day. My death, Christ's resurrection in my life. And then claim some characteristics of Christ in my life. Taking the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. And say, Lord, just today, just take your personality that has love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and take all those characteristics and let them flow through my body. Flow through my life so that my character can be an expression of your character to the people that I meet. I petition God for his character in my life, according to Galatians 5:22 and 23. Also claim Acts 1:8. That I would have the power to be able to share my faith with other people, and ask God for a person or some people to whom I can relate as far as sharing the gospel during that day. Just asking God for that opportunity. Petitioning him for that. My father-in-law, who's really a fantastic man of God, really, I think, probably the greatest Christian I know. He claims Galatians 6:10, I think it's 10 through 19 there, about the armor for the Christian. And he goes through in his quiet time every day and he puts it on. You know, he puts on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and all the other, you know, his feet shod with salvation and all that. He takes all those things and he just puts on each piece of armor, one piece at a time, just claiming God's protection around his life, God's armor around his life. I have a section under petition in my notebook where I have a thing called Needs for My Life. And just have several things written down there that I'm praying. I've got some flaws in my personality that God's trying to work out of my life and trying to help me to develop some things in my life that are really important. For instance, one of the things that I'm praying for is real total honesty. It's really hard for me personally to be totally honest in every situation. Here's what I wrote down one day. Just on one side, I've got some needs in my life. On the other side, response to that. My first insight of the new year is that I tend toward my expediency when what I need is the Lord's excellency. I want to cut through a situation to save time and do what I want to with not too much consideration for doing it in real honesty. And just praying, Lord, now you change that in my life and give me real total honesty about my life. Also, just been praying for faith. Shouldn't pray for these things unless you really are serious about it, because he's really been dealing with me in that area. And just recently wrote down this. I said, I can see how he is developing faith in me, not by my faithfulness, but by pointing out how I don't trust him with the future. I can't figure it out, and all I can do at this point is cast myself on the Lord. So God is just beginning to develop and blossom out faith in my own life. Now, those are just a couple of needs in my life. There are several others mentioned here, but as I see those things, those flaws in my personality, those inadequacies, I just write those down as needs. Things like sensitivity to others, insecurity, total obedience, compassion, defensiveness, some things like that. I just write those down and then allow God to speak to me about those things out of the Scripture and out of my experience. And I just ask that He would develop positively the things that need to be developed in my life as a result of those inadequacies. I think that's a part of petition, examining our lives, seeing where we're missing it, and asking God to do something that He can only He can do to bring our personality into total balance. So that's another aspect of petition. Now, let's look at intercession. Well, what a powerful aspect of prayer intercession is. Praying for others. Intercession is the only force in which you can channel life-changing power anywhere in the world in a matter of seconds. Let me say that again. Intercession is the only force in which you can channel life-changing power anywhere in the world in a matter of seconds. Let's just say, for example, that I'm here. And I offer up my prayer for a missionary friend in Singapore. Okay? And as I offer that prayer up to God, God can take that almost like a satellite. You can see the diagram. Here I am. God, I offer that prayer up to God. He takes it just almost like a satellite and can begin to answer that prayer on the other side of the world in just a matter of seconds because of my prayers. That's how powerful intercession can be. And I think this is an area of prayer where we as Christians, I personally, have a tremendous inadequacy in terms of praying for other people and realizing that God can really win the victory in their lives because of my prayers for them. Intercession is my response to the love of God for all people. It's my response to the love of God for all people. And it is my willingness to stand in their place. I think that's really significant. It's my willingness to stand in their place and to take upon myself the struggles that they're having, the problems that they're having, the feelings that they're having, so that God can deal with them free from all of those things. For me to stand in their place before God. And we have a right to do that. We have a perfect right to do that. I just, by way of illustration, I just recall when I was a little kid how my dad used to take us to the state basketball tournament when I was in junior high. And I would always ask him if he would take us. It was always in another part of the state. And I would say, two, 3 months before, I'd say, "Dad, can I go to the state tournament? Can I take some of my friends with me?" And he would consent to do that, and not only would take me and pay my way, but he would take my friends and he would pay their way. Now, some of those guys who were friends of mine, a couple of black guys went with us, and they didn't have any money, and we could hardly find them a place to stay back at that point in time. And yet my dad took it upon himself as my dad, because they were my friends, to provide them with the finances not only to get there, but also to have a place to stay when they got there. Now, they didn't have any right to do that. They didn't have the financial right to do that. But it was because of my dad's goodness, because they were my friends and he loved me, that he acted on those things. And I think that's pretty much the way it is with intercession, because I'm one of God's children. I can come before Him, lay requests before Him, and God will answer those requests because I am one of His children, and He'll answer those for other people, answer those requests about other people, for other people. And I think that's really what intercession is all about. Now, how in the world do we pray for others? Well, I think we need to pray for specific people. One of the things I do is I pray for, in an intercessory way, I pray for my family. Every day I've got a sheet in my notebook in which I pray for Carol. Got us on one side, I've got needs in her life and situations in her life that need prayer. And on the other side, record answers as God just answers those prayers. I pray for my kids. Got a page for my son, a page for my daughter. One side, things that God's trying to develop in his life and situations with him. On the other side, answers to prayer. For instance, put down here that God, Scott would be God's man, according to 1 Timothy 6:11. that God would build character in his life, that God would be developing our relationship together, that he would stop whining and crying, that he would have protection from chicken pox, to which he was exposed to several weeks ago, that I pray for his relationship to Katie. I pray for the girl he's going to marry in the future. And just a lot, I pray for discipline, that he'd obey me the first time I ask rather than the third time I ask. And that I would have enough courage to take that stick and beat his little bottom when he doesn't. Just praying for a lot of different things there as far as our relationship and things that are going on in his life. The same with with our little gal, praying for things about her, praying qualities in her life like Proverbs 31 and 1 Peter 3:4, that she'd have a quiet and gentle spirit. And just praying those things into her life and interceding for her before God. And then have a sheet on my mom and dad and Carol's mom and dad and my sister and her husband and Carol's sister and her husband and Carol's brother and a lot of people in our family. So just praying for specific people within our family and then also some close friends. Have a page for it. Just have their name at the top, the needs on one side, answers to prayer on the other side of the page. And I found that that is a tremendous way to pray and see God's answers to prayer in intercession as we just come before him and lay those things out before him. A lot of times I found before I started recording things, I would pray, God would answer, and I would forget. And wouldn't really know when God answered prayer and when he didn't. So it's important, I think, for me and for you to write these things down and then to encourage kids to do the same thing. So if they can see when God is actually answering prayer as they pray specific prayers for specific people. All right. I have a page in here that has monthly prayer concerns. I take my schedule for the whole month, say the month of April, and I'll lay out on that sheet or one side all the concerns that I have for that particular month. Been praying for this conference for 2 or 3 months. Going to a thing in Ohio this weekend, praying for that. Praying for several different things that are taking place during the month, you know, events that are coming up. And just praying for those events during that month and then seeing God answer prayer and seeing what he does in those events that are really by his Spirit and by his power. All right, I have a page in here also in which I pray for the lost. And I think this is really important that we pray for at least, that you be praying for at least 5 lost people. And as you begin to develop a notebook, a time in which you come to God and pray and intercede for other people, as you develop that in your notebook, you need to have the names of at least 5 people. Kids in high school, some kids who really don't know Christ, some kids that you're trying to relate to and share Christ to, maybe some young couple in your community, some neighbors, some people like that, whoever it is, but at least 5 lost people that you're praying for, that God will really bring himself to reality in their lives. All right, and then I have one last thing under intercession is I have a prayer list that goes Monday through Sunday. And what I do is I have the names of some people that I work with, some guys on our evangelism staff, people at the Home Mission Board, so other people in my family, my less immediate family, for a day that I pray just for the staff at our church and the people who are involved in our church and our community, and just have a list of those people on Monday through Sunday, and pray for those people day by day. Not everybody every day, or not everybody on their day, but praying for them in a very conscious way, having their name written down and seeing God answer those prayers as I go through that list week by week and day by day. Okay, prayer. Praise, confession, thanksgiving, petition, intercession. If we can begin to teach ourselves to pray specifically from those 5 aspects of prayer, then I believe that we'll be able to communicate to kids how they can pray that way. And then there will be unleashed in your community and in your church the most powerful force in the world to be utilized by you and your church and your ministry to really bring about change in the only way that real change can take place, and that is through prayer. Again, that time alone with God is the foundational principle on which, and the foundational discipline on which the rest of the disciplines of the Christian life are built. And if we don't build that foundation, and if we don't build that discipline into the lives of kids, it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult to move beyond that to develop other disciplines such as scripture memory, witnessing, personal Bible study, fasting, giving their money, and so on and so forth. So I think it's extremely important at this point that we teach ourselves and by example from what we do, that we teach kids how to spend that time alone with God. I just want us to have a time of prayer together. I want us to just go to the Lord in prayer right now, and I'd like for us just to silently pray through these three areas of prayer: thanksgiving, petition, and intercession. I'd like for you to just take your notebook there, the green notebook, and you can look through and use that as a guideline this morning in your own time of prayer. And then we're going to come back for a time of corporate prayer just before we take a break in a little while. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and you thank Him for some things, and you petition Him for some things, and you intercede for some other people during this time. Let's just have a word of prayer right now as we begin. Lord Jesus, we pray that during this time, Your Spirit would witness to our spirit and that You would speak to us in a powerful way, and that we'd be able to carry on conversation with You in an humble way.